radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's mystery and adventure with The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone. But first, on the lighter side, let's join Abbott and Costello. Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, remembered primarily as a movie team, first got their shove toward stardom in radio and stayed with the medium throughout the 1940s when their famous film Comics was at its height. They brought an old-style vaudeville slapstick style to radio, stand-up comedy that consisted mainly of short skits involving clever plays on words. Signed by Universal Pictures in 1939, they almost single-handedly bailed the financially troubled studio out of the red. Their own regular air show was first heard October 8, 1942, continuing for 5 years on NBC as a Thursday night feature for Camel Cigarettes. Consistently heard by more than 20 million listeners, it supplemented such films as Buck Privates, In the Navy, and Hold That Ghost to keep their names constantly at the top of the zany comic heap. Here now, from the mid-1940s, is Bud Abbott and Lou Costello in The English Butler, with special guest star Arthur Treacher. Another classic moment from the golden age of radio.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
And Costello program. Listen to the music of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the songs of Connie Haynes, Cliff Nazaro, tonight's special guest Arthur Treacher, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hey, Abbott!
Costello, what are you doing in the bathtub?
What do you think I'm doing? I'm taking a bath.
What are you doing with your underwear on?
The water's cold.
Oh, will you get out of that tub and put your bathrobe on?
I've got the bathrobe on now.
You're wearing your bathrobe in the tub?
Sure, I don't want to get my suit wet.
Oh, wait a minute. What are you doing in the bathtub on Thursday night?
Abbott, I forgot to tell you, but Lynn Barrett, a beautiful movie star, is coming here for dinner, and I'm going to have a big, swanky party.
Oh, are you expecting people?
Certainly I'm expecting people. What do you think I'm going to do, have a flock of cows?
Not flock, herd.
Herd what?
Herd of cows.
Of course I heard of cows. I'm no dummy.
I mean a cow herd.
Well, I can't have a cow herd. I just say nothing to be ashamed of.
All right, all right. Let's say no more about cows, please. I'm not in the mood.
What mood?
A cow mood.
Who cares if a cow moves? Maybe once it's a little kitten.
All right, look, look, forget about the cows. You don't know anything about cows in the first place.
Who don't?
Wait a minute, do you know what a cow gives?
No.
A cow gives milk.
No, she don't. You gotta take it away from her.
All right, we understand. That's the first thing you've said right. You take the milk from the cow's udder.
I beg your pardon?
The cow's udder.
The cow's udder what?
Costello, you take the milk from under the cow.
You mean the crankcase.
Oh.
That's the thing that's fastened to the cow's skin.
No, not skin. Hide.
Why should I hide? I didn't do nothing.
No. Hide on the cow.
How am I going to hide on a cow?
Listen, a cow on top of a cow. Just a minute, please. Listen to me. Hide. A cow's outside.
Bring her in. Let her listen to the program.
Wait a minute. Quiet. Here comes Ken and Mrs. Nile.
Oh, hello, Miss Rabbit. And you too, Costello. Are you surprised to see me?
No, ma'am. I was expecting a cow.
What?
I mean, another kind of a cow.
What?
Another kind of a cow.
Oh, Costello, I'm not a cow. I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
Whoa! Will you stop that, Costello? That's no way to insult Mrs. Nile.
You know a better way?
Now, just a second, Costello. I'm getting red in the face.
Where are you getting the blood?
Oh, are you calling my Kenneth anemic? Why, just look how trim he is in that blue suit. Why, he looks like Gainsborough's blue boy.
He looks more like Ginsburg's bellboy. Oh. A pretty shade of blue, ain't it?
You're a fine one to talk, Fatso.
Me, Fat? I just dropped 20 pounds.
You didn't drop it far enough.
Oh, now, let's stop fighting, please. Mrs. Niles, Costello invited Lynn Barry to the house, and he needs some help with dinner.
Oh, well, I might be able to help. I've been cooking for 12 years.
You ought to be well done by now.
No.
Get the kisser on that
Quiet.
Kid.
You see, Mrs. Niles, what Costello really needs is a butler. Do you know where we can get one from?
Well, my uncle runs an employment agency.
Well, that's fine.
Here's the address. Just go over there and ask for my uncle.
Oh, that's very nice, Mrs. Niles. What's his name?
You go. Ask for him.
Yes, ma'am. I go, but who do I ask for?
She told you. You go.
I know I go, but I gotta ask for somebody.
Well, I told you to see my uncle.
Uncle what?
You go.
Now, don't say that again. Don't tell me I go.
Stop saying I go when Mrs. Niles says you go.
All right. You go, and I won't have to go.
Costello, you don't understand. My uncle's first name is Hugo.
Oh, why didn't you say that in the first place? What's his last name?
Guess it.
Why should I?
What? Why should you what?
Guess his name.
She didn't tell you to guess his name.
Mrs. Niles, didn't you tell me his name was Hugo?
Yes.
What's his last name?
I said guess it.
That's what I thought you said. Is it Murphy?
No.
Is it Jones or Smith?
No, Costello, guess it.
Costello, and I told you for the last time. You go guess it.
And
you go
jump in the lake.
Oh.
Close and all.
I'll do nothing of the kind. Come, Kenneth.
Well, Costello, they're mad again. Now you've burned your bridges behind you.
That's okay. I won't show with my coat on.
Now, come on, nonsense. You got to have a butler for the party. Now, here's Mrs. Niles' uncle's card. Call him up.
Boy, this sure is for a funny phone number.
What does it say?
Established, 1903.
That isn't a phone number.
Right here on the card.
No, nothing of the kind. That's the year he started the employment agency. He founded it in 1903.
Oh, he founded the business? Who lost it?
Nobody lost it.
But how could he founded it if he didn't lost it yet?
Costello, I said he founded it.
Can I help it if you don't speak good English?
Yeah, Costello, please, you should be ashamed of yourself. Mr. and Mrs. Niles were kind enough to tell you where you could hire a butler. I was kind enough to explain how to contact the man, but did you appreciate it? No. All you do is stand there and give me silly answers.
Oh, I'm a bad boy!
Well, you certainly are.
Don't tell my scoutmaster on me.
Well, I should.
Oh, if you do, he'll take away my scalp pins. Gee, Abbott, anything but that. I have one pin for courtesy. I got one pin for bravery and one for safety.
Wait a minute. I can see the pin for courtesy and the pin for bravery. Where's the pin for safety?
It's holding my pants up.
Oh!
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Freddie Rich and his orchestra play a Cole Porter favorite, I Get a Kick Out of You.
Thank you.
All right, come on, Costello. So you go get an employment agency. It's right down this hall. Now, let me handle this, and I'll get you a butler.
Now, look, Abbott, I'm just expecting Lynn Barry. Why do I need a butler?
But a butler in your house will make you more stable.
Stable?
Certainly. Just picture a butler in his livery.
What I got, a house or a livery stable?
Did I? You don't understand. He'll make you distinctive. He'll give your house a certain air.
What am I hiring, a butler or a skunk?
Oh, come on, shut up. Now, come on in the employment agency and let me do the talking, please.
Oh, Miss, you've got to get me a maid. My maid quit today after 15 years. I've lost my maid. I've lost my maid.
Hey, mister, why did your maid leave?
She caught me kissing my wife.
Costello, look, please. Never mind him. Let's talk to the clerk at the desk.
How do you do, gentlemen? What can I do for you?
Well, I'd like to hire a butler.
You'd like to hire a butler? Oh, you mad, impetuous boy!
All right, brother, don't knock yourself out.
I just want to hire a butler.
You just want to hire
a butler?
What am I laughing at? I mean,
oh, you fool. Why don't you ask me for a date with my wife?
Okay, but one thing at a time.
Now, I'll have to ask you a few questions for my file. First of all, do you work in a defense land?
No, I don't.
Then how can you afford a butler? Do you own any steel mills?
No.
Polo ponies?
No.
Steamship companies?
No. I'm in a rut, ain't I?
Now, listen, Clark, we're in a great hurry. Haven't you got a butler we can hire?
Well, there is one, Judson. But right now, he's over there. Mr. Morganbilt, the millionaire, is talking to him.
Now, listen, Judson. I'll give you 5 nights a week off and $1,000 a week. All right, make it 7 nights a week off. I'll give you my car. I'll do your laundry. All right, you're hired. Now, please stop twisting my arm!
Nobody's looking. Lucky fellow, he's got a butler, just by a twist of a wrist.
Look, Clark, this isn't helping us. We've got to have a butler. Lynn Barry, the movie star, is coming to dinner tonight.
Lynn Barry coming to dinner? Oh, so you'll be putting on the dog.
No, we're having roast beef.
What kind of talk is that? Come with me and see our manager, Mr. Nazaro. Right this way. Mr. Nazaro?
Yes?
This is Mr. Abbott, Mr. Costello. Costello would like to hire a butler.
You want to hire a butler? Good heavens, man, don't you realize that butlers can't arouse a salary to meet? And he can't reach the self-remorse of his self-remorse. It isn't that I want to raise the same for the boss's salary to pay his horse for the railroad salary.
And maybe he'll be reclassified.
You don't understand. Look, Brown, didn't you tell Mr. Costello that the castle raises four of the mice of bites? Hasn't got any forks? And didn't you tell him that the reason salary price of the horse of the man? Didn't you tell him that?
Yes, I did. You didn't say that, brother!
Now, don't interrupt the man.
That's right. I'm trying to show you that that's the word of race to me. Now, not that the castle is. Or rain will fall in some of the grind. You get the picture I'm painting?
Yeah, but you smeared it up in the middle.
Costello, he's trying to tell you that today most people are doing their own work. Even Cary Grant washes at his house.
Yes, Costello, do you wash?
Certainly I wash. What do you think I am, a slob?
No, all the picture stars are washing. I passed Stan Sheridan's house yesterday, and I saw her washing her color veins, her Ross's soap, a film of Hilda Mobile. And even a little jibbity-bitty sort of capper color. Don't you wash your twang and philpot and dildaboo?
I do, but the buttons break off.
Never mind your buttons.
Never mind my buttons. What do you want me to do, be a pin-up boy?
Mr. Costello, let me ask you a question. When you had your last butler, did you pay him Babbitt-it?
No, I only paid him Babbitt-it.
Why didn't you pay him Babbitt-it?
Because he didn't, did it?
Look, Costello, now let's not get nasty. I'm trying to tell you there's a shortage of men. Butlers today aren't just a cat for force with a celery and a hypnic rails. Why, even my butler cast the boss's trade. I tried, I said to him, governors, did you ever sell a force of eight? Bring my condren, bring my sepulchre, bring my corsets. And he won't even visit the manly face. You see what I mean?
Frankly, I'm a little confused.
Why don't you pay attention to the man there?
That's what's confusing me!
Well, I could put it another way.
You could, but would you?
Now, just a minute. You can't come in here and tell me how to categorize the salary of a box, or even once a wedding, when you know that I'm the only one who tries to state it. What do you think I am, a castrant? It's men like you that Captain Foster Souse will have everybody cross with him in a salary base. And the hit and did it, so on, so on.
Fuddle-dee-duddle?
That doesn't make sense.
That don't make sense!
Of course it doesn't.
It certainly does not.
Of all the ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life, it's fuddle-dee-duddle.
All right, brother. What would you have said?
I have said, Miss Saintly's false get this. Sir Keller, wait a moment.
That's the word I've been trying to think of!
Get out of here!
Connie Haynes sings the new Rhythmic Kit, If That's the Way You Want It Be.
If that's the way you want it, baby, baby, that's the way it will be. I'll wait for you forever, baby. Wait because I'm sure that you're waiting for me. The day will come, I don't mean maybe, when you'll be mine, but definitely. If that's the way you want it, baby, baby, that's the way you will be. Time's a wasting, wish that we could hasten to the man with the collar turned around. I'd like to do it right away, but you'd rather wait. And so I'd say, if that's the way you want it, baby, baby, that's the way you will be. I'll wait for you forever, baby. I'll wait because I'm sure that you're waiting for me. The day will come, I don't need maybe, when you'll be mine, but definitely. If that's the way you want it, baby, baby, I'll be waiting, sitting here awaiting. Baby, that's the way it will be.
Well, Costello, come here. What are you going to do? Here it is, the night of your big party for Lynn Barry, and you haven't got a butler.
Yes, but we did get a cook. Call up the kitchen and tell her what to do.
Well, be careful what you say now.
Hello, kitchen. This is Mr. Costello. I want to talk to my cook, Mrs. Blank. What? She did? At 4 o'clock in the morning? Wow! How much did it weigh? 9 pounds? At her age, too. How do you like that, Abbott? Mrs. Blank got up at 4 o'clock this morning and ate a 9-pound turkey.
No.
I never heard of such stuff.
Hey, Costello, that must be Lynn Barry.
Lynn
Barry? Don't get excited now. Take it easy.
I like her because she's a big girl.
All right, now, don't get excited.
Boy, boy, at last. I'll go to the door. 50 pounds of ice for Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith lives next door. Hey, do you mind if I leave it here at her husband's home? I guess her husband don't like ice.
Oh,
that was a piperoo.
Well, Costello, you'd better forget about Lynn Barry. I don't think she's coming.
Oh, no? I'll bet that's her now.
Well, pair it up for me.
Hello, Lynn. Oh, Lynn, my darling. My precious one. My loved one. My own little Snooky. I love you.
Boy, oh, boy, have I got the wrong number.
I can't stand this waiting. I'm losing my mind.
Oh, behave yourself. You're not losing your mind any more than I am.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
Abbott, this must be Lynn Barry. I'll answer it. Darling, come into my arms.
I say, aren't you a bit high-strung, old boy?
Costello, look who it is. It's Arthur Treacher.
Mr. Treacher.
Now, that's my line.
I just want to find out if it's a professional business.
That's right. How do you do, Mr.
Find out if he is a lifesaver. Well, you know what I mean.
No.
Thank you.
How do you do, Mr. Treacher? I'm Bud Abbott, and this is Lou Costello.
I'm glad you told me. I thought it was cabbage cooking.
Now, wait a minute, Treacher. The only reason I don't poke you in the nose is because I'm bigger than you.
It so happens that I'm bigger than you.
That's a better reason.
Oh. Look, Mr. Treacher, don't mind Costello. He was expecting Lynn Barry. And he's down in the dumps.
Yes, that's where she told me I'd find him.
Now, wait a minute, Treacher.
Mr. Treacher to you, punk.
Mr. Punk to you, Treacher.
Now, stop that, Costello.
I want to know what he's doing here. What are you doing here, Shorty?
For your information, you poisonous person, I am Miss Barry's butler. Before she sets one dainty foot in this hovel, I wish to inspect the premises, the service, and the food here.
Here?
Yes, here.
Oh, dear.
Costello.
Oh, you make sure.
Now, listen, Costello.
Abort.
Yeah. Now, that isn't a bit nice.
Abort and caution.
Now, Costello, that isn't a bit nice coming.
What kind of talk?
Please.
Bad, please. Come here.
Costello. There's a reason.
Yes, sit down, yep.
No. Here. Don't talk like that.
Over here.
Yes. Lou, don't you understand?
Over there.
Well, don't you understand, Lou?
Somebody better talk besides me.
Now, wait a minute. Come here, Lou. Don't you understand? He's English.
He's English?
Yeah.
If he was any more English, he couldn't talk at all.
Quiet.
Over here.
Look here, Treacher. Who are you to come in here and question Costello's official standing?
After all, I sprang from nobility.
And you didn't spring far enough.
No, you didn't spring far enough. I'll have you know that my family is very prominent socially. My father has a country seat in Wembley and a city seat in Devonshire.
Your father has two seats?
Yes.
Does Ripley know about it?
Costello... Be careful how you talk
Abbott,
to me.
Abbott, don't you start talking like that.
Now, wait a minute, please.
Make it more pronounced for Costello.
All right, Costello.
That's better.
Be careful how you talk to Mr. Treacher. He's a polished gentleman.
He sounds like he's shellacked.
You don't understand.
Now, look here. I'm from Eton.
You're from Hunger.
You're impossible. You're absolutely impossible.
Hey, you're nuts. Over here.
No. Mr. Treacher's an educated man. He's a linguist.
Yes.
You told me he was English before.
Yes.
A linguist.
Linguist.
What's the difference between linguist and English?
Never mind.
Wait a minute.
I can't say either word anyway.
Man, will you? Yes, perhaps I can make you understand it French. Parlez-vous français?
Oui, oui.
Bien. Vous avez étudié dans une pension?
Oui, oui.
Combien de temps habitez-vous dans le Sauvin à Paris?
Oui, oui. Hey, Abbott, I'll bet he runs out before I do.
Quiet, will you, please?
Now, look here. You might as well know it, old boy. I'll never permit Miss Barry to attend your dinner.
Oh, yeah? There's Miss Barry now. Hello, Lynn, my darling.
Oh, it's me, Mrs. Niles. Am I late?
Yeah, by about 40 years. What is this, witch's night out?
Costello, please.
Boy, you sure get around. What, do you got a C-card for your broom?
Oh, stop, Costello. Mr. Treacher, I'd like to have you meet Mr. and Mrs. Ken Niles.
Which one is Mrs. Niles?
Now, wait a minute,
what?
Treacher.
What?
I don't go for that.
Not to lie.
After all, which one is Mrs. Niles? These people are friends of mine.
Ooh.
All of them are friends of mine. Which one is Mr. and Mrs. Niles? How do you like that, Abbott?
Good for you, Costello.
You keep out of this, Kenneth.
Kenneth, are you going to stand for this? Costello is trying to make a man out of me and a woman out of you.
Maybe we'd be happier that way.
Will you please stop those fights?
I've heard enough, Costello. I could never allow Miss Barry to associate with an illiterate like you.
Ah, gee, Treacher. Don't keep Lynn Barry away from my house. You don't seem to really know me.
I don't seem to really know you? You corpulent little corporal. Do you realize you just spit an infinitive?
Why, does it show?
No, you dummy. He's correcting your grammar. You made a mistake.
Who made a mistake? Now listen here, Mr. Treacher. When the adjective modifies the predicate adverb, then the pronoun of the subjunctive mood modifies the dangling participle, leaving the infinitive unsplit. Do you know what I mean, Treacher?
Certainly.
Then explain it to me.
Costello, you're not going to get Lynn Barry this way. You know that.
Gee, Mr. Treacher, I gotta have Lynn Barry here. I'm in love with her. She's my whole life. She means everything to me. I gotta have her. I can't live without her.
Does she really mean that much to you?
Yeah, she's the only one that can string my yo-yo.
Very well, if she means that much to you, let me see how you'd make love to her. Now, just imagine that Mrs. Niles here is Lynn Barry.
What an imagination you got, brother.
Do what the man says. Take Mrs. Niles in your arms and kiss her.
Oh, but Miss Rabbit, in my whole life, I've only been kissed by two parties.
Yes, ma'am. The Democrats and the Republicans. That's enough. I thank you, Mother. Come here, my proud beauty.
Oh, I'm not proud.
You're no beauty either.
Well, Costello, what are you waiting for?
Go ahead and kiss her.
Not me. Treacher, if you know so much, you kiss her.
I kiss her? Now, look here, that is, honestly, you can't really...
Oh, what have you got to lose? There'll always be an England.
Oh, come on.
Over here.
Yeah. Quiet. Mr. Treacher, you show Costello the proper approach to kiss Lynn Barry. Take Mrs. Niles in your arm.
All right, I'll do it. I have her in my arm.
Now, you put your
what
face...
What do I do now?
You put your face next to hers.
Yes.
Now you're cheek to cheek.
Yes.
From where I'm standing, it looks like a dead heat at Bay Meadows.
Quiet.
Now what do I do?
Now, Treachy, you kiss her.
And now what do I do?
Give her back her teeth.
Costello will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Good night, folks. We're a little late. See you next week.
Good night, folks. Be sure to tune in next week for another great Abbott and Costello show with our guest, Lynn Barry. This is Ken Niles wishing you all a very pleasant good night from Hollywood.
From the mid-1940s, there's Abbott and Costello with special guest star Arthur Treacher in The English Butler. In a moment, mystery and intrigue with The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
The Lineup took its listeners behind the scenes of police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights passed the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, and the murderer. So intoned the opening announcements of the series that ran on NBC, from the series that ran on CBS, predating Dragnet from July of 1950 until 1953. Bill Johnstone, one of the early stars of The Shadow, was the lead lieutenant, and dramas were built around a police lineup gimmick. Scripts were fast and realistic, with Johnstone's easygoing character adding more intrigue to the entire plot. Music was by Eddie Dunstetter, and the program concluded in July of 1953. Here now, from March of 1952, is the Betty Matthews case. It's The Lineup, another classic radio moment from the archives of Yesteryear.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now by transcription behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Hi, Bert. Hi, Quine. Hello, Miss Connolly. Mm-hmm. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's perfectly all right. I just hope that I can be of some help.
How's Mr. Matthews?
We had him over for dinner this evening. The poor thing is just beside himself. He just can't understand Betty disappearing like this. You think something terrible has happened to her?
We never know.
Oh, dear. You think the salesman might have had something to do with it?
There's always the possibility. Everybody we've talked to seems to be clear. Cleaning lady, Miss Murray, said she took Mrs. Matthews downtown at 9:30. You saw them leave.
I waved to Betty as they backed out of the driveway. Maybe Betty had amnesia or something. Why, she wouldn't leave like this without a note.
Well, the hospitals are being checked. The only thing we can do is follow every possible lead. Let's get a seat while there's some left.
Over there, okay?
Yeah, sure. Here, Mrs. Scott. You know the game, Sunday?
Yeah, I suppose.
Those Rams are really improved, let's say.
You policeman football fans?
Well, sure, we go whenever we can.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications,
where was Pete last
please remember
week?
The number assigned.
Went fishing. Wish I'd have gone.
If you're sure or not too sure, the suspect had in health. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get an actual tone of voice. Do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the lights. Okay, keep it moving over here to the end of the stage, boys. Number two, come on, pick it up.
My feet hurt.
Never mind. Turn face front, hands at your sides, and look straight ahead, straight out through the screen. You, number two, stand up straight.
What you picking on me for?
I'm not picking on you. Just do what you're told to do.
Yes.
Now, when I call out your number, step out. Keep facing the screen and talk up so everybody can hear you. I want all the people out there to get a good look at you and be able to hear what you say. So stand up and talk up. All right, number one, Clyde McDonald, Grand Theft Auto. Where do you live, Clyde?
Lieutenant, that's the big one.
Where?
He looks like the man. The only thing is his hair wasn't that short if it's the same man.
Well, you'll get a better look at him in a minute.
Utah, Salt Lake City.
Working here in town?
Oh, I can't seem to find anything I like.
Where'd you get the car you were picked up in?
A friend of mine let me use it.
Oh. You know it was a stolen car?
No, of course I didn't know it was stolen. You think I'd go for a ride in a hot car?
You did. Where's your friend that lent you the car?
Well, I told you, I guess. You've been out there, haven't you?
We were out there. No one's living there or has lived there by the name you gave us.
That's funny. All I know is what I told you. That's where he told me he lived. I only met him yesterday.
Where'd you meet this friend of yours?
A bar over on 36th Street.
When were you supposed to give the car back to him?
No time in particular. He said he'd look me up when he needed it. And I guess you boys don't believe me. It does sound kind of crazy, don't it?
Sure does. Okay, Clyde, step back.
Well, I'm telling the truth. You fellas better do some more checking up.
We will. Step back. Number two, Elroy Burke, disturbing the peace. Okay, Elroy, step out. Where do you live, Elroy?
No place special.
When I ask where you live, I want to know where you slept last.
Oh.
Well, where do you live?
A hotel down on South First Street. Nice place. Everything's real handy.
How long you been in town, Elroy?
2 days.
Where you from?
Arizona. Little old town, name of McNair.
Got a job?
No. I'm kind of taking a vacation.
What kind of work do you do?
Farm work. Irrigating, stuff like that.
How tall are you, Elroy?
6'4".
You married?
Sure enough.
Where's your family?
Down in Arizona, I reckon. That's where they were when I last saw them.
How old are you?
33, I think.
Don't you know?
No. Nope. I've never been much to mess around with details like that. You die when you get old, even if you don't know how old you are.
What happened last night?
Nothing much. I don't know why everybody gets so upset over a little old fight.
You sure made a mess out of that bar.
I reckon you're right. I had some help, though.
How's that?
Well, the guys I was fighting broke up some of the stuff. One man couldn't do that much damage.
How'd it start?
It just took off kind of natural-like. I was standing there, and I started to feel pretty good, so I declared myself. Three or four guys took me on. I figured I had them whipped by the time you guys got there.
Well, you were taking care of yourself, all right.
Shucks, there wasn't nothing personal about it. I was just feeling good.
Your feet still hurt?
I hope the shots are killing me.
Okay, all right, step back. Number three, Edward King, open charge. Where do you live?
I'm pretty sure that's him. The hair looks different, though.
He looks like he just got a haircut.
That's what it is, I'm sure of. But that's the man, Lieutenant. He's the one that was around the day Betty disappeared.
Miss Sergeant Carger.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Hold number 3 for interrogation. Did you work around Bellwood yesterday, King?
Sure. Hey, what's this all about?
Were you in the 500 block of Upton Road?
500 block? Yeah, I sold some cards to a Mrs. Roberts. Hey, what's going on here anyway? I haven't done anything. I got a license to sell in this place.
Don't you read the papers?
Not today, I haven't.
Did you just get your hair cut?
Yeah, about 4 this afternoon. Is it against the law to get your hair cut?
No. You had quite a bit of money on you when you were picked up, didn't you? A
little over $200.
Where'd you get it?
I just got a commission check this morning.
Where'd you cash it?
First Security and Trust, 5th and Logan. You can check with them.
We will.
You think I stole the money?
Did you call on a Mrs. Matthews on Upton Road yesterday?
Gee, I don't know. I may have. I only find out the names of the ones that buy from me.
She lived in a 2-story brick house, 500 block. Has a white picket fence around the front yard.
I think so. Oh, is there one of those little statues like they used to tie horses to on the front lawn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was there.
What time were you there?
About 9, I guess.
Did you talk to Mrs. Matthews?
I don't know. I guess so. She said she was a lady of the house.
Did she seem upset? Nervous?
No. Well, she was real nice. Said she was in a hurry. Was going downtown. She wanted me to come back later. She said she hadn't bought her cards yet. What's the matter? Something happened to this Mrs. Matthews?
She's been missing since yesterday.
Well, so maybe she went for a trip or something. My gosh, you think I got something to do with her being missing?
We're just checking.
Believe me, Lieutenant, I haven't done anything.
You'd better stay around town where we can get hold of you.
Sure I will. I got nothing to run away for.
The papers are still giving White a rough time for fading back that 50 yards in the first Bears game.
Yeah. Poor guy. He thought sure he could break away.
Yeah. Remember when that guy ran the wrong way in the Rose Bowl game?
Uh-huh.
He sure took a ribbing. What was his name?
I used to know.
What was it? I've been trying to think of it all day. Oh. Nice district.
Yeah.
Oh, Nelson called. Looks like Edward King's in the clear. The company he works for gave him a clean bill, and they'd already sent him a commission check for $175.
Hmm.
I think I'll start in selling Christmas cards.
Maybe that's a way out for Asher, too.
Oh, Lieutenant Guthrie.
Hello, Miss Murray. You remember Sergeant Cargan?
Yes, sir.
Is Mr. Matthews home?
Oh, he's in the den. He's been in there all morning.
Who is it, my woman?
Lieutenant Guthrie and Sergeant Cargan. They won't see you.
Oh, good. Bring them back.
This one.
Hello, Lieutenant. Sergeant.
Mr. Matthews.
I was just getting ready to call you. Any news?
Nothing yet, Mr. Matthews. We wanted to ask you some more questions, if you don't mind.
Oh? Sit down, gentlemen.
Well, thank you. It won't take long, Mr. Matthews. We'd just like to go over some things with you.
All right, Lieutenant.
Were you and your wife happily married, Mr. Matthews?
What's that?
Did you have any serious differences?
Well, no, nothing that you could call serious. The only disagreement we ever had was over our son, Charles. Betty would have spoiled him rotten if I hadn't put my foot down.
Now, how old is Charles?
Well, let's see, he's 33. He lives over on the other side of town. Betty was always of the mind that we had plenty, so why shouldn't we buy things for Charles now, while we were alive, and could see him enjoy them? She always said he would get everything when we were gone anyway.
Was your wife ever despondent?
Why, no, she had no reason to be. We live comfortably. She keeps busy with her club work, and we usually get along together.
She has no enemies that you know of?
Oh, no, none.
How long has Miss Murray worked for you?
Oh, over 4 years. I guess it's nearly 5. She comes and cleans 3 days a week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. She fixes dinner for us on those nights.
She and Mrs. Matthews get along?
As far as I know, they do.
You left the house about 7 o'clock Monday morning?
That's right.
Your wife seemed to be in good spirits?
Mm-hmm. She was going downtown. If I'd been going to the office, I'd have taken her as I went in, but I had to go over to Longview. Betty said that she would have the housekeeper, Miss Murray, drive her down. And then she'd come on over to the office and ride home with me that night. And so I waited until maybe 8 o'clock that evening at the office, and, well, you know the rest.
Do you know if she had much money with her?
As a matter of fact, quite a bit. She was going to buy a dress, and Charles' wedding anniversary is next week, so she was going to get something for them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a gun in the house?
Why, yes, I do. It's one Charles brought back from overseas. It's a Luger. He gave it to me. I don't know why I took it. I've always hated guns. I wrapped it in a cloth and put it away in the bottom desk drawer.
Did your wife know where it was?
Mm-hmm. She kept after me to give it back to Charles. She didn't like a gun in the house either.
I see. You still have it, then?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. Just a second. I know it's gone. This is where I put it, but it's not here.
What clock again?
No, thanks. Quine back?
No, I don't think so.
You know, Pete, a woman that's afraid of a gun doesn't take one and then go out and get herself lost.
Matthews may be lying.
I don't think so.
The cleaning lady?
I doubt it.
Hi, Ben. Pete.
Hi. Hi, Quine. You get out to check on Mr. Matthews, son, yet?
Yeah, just got back. He's clean. Been in bed for 5 days with a broken ankle, broken playing touch football with the neighborhood kids.
You meet his wife?
Uh-huh. Both of them real nice people. Sure upset. His wife seems to think an awful lot of Mrs. Matthews.
When did he last see his mother?
Well, Sunday afternoon, both Mr. and Mrs. Matthews dropped by to see him. Talked to his mother Monday morning on the phone. She was going downtown. Miss Murray was taking her.
Mm.
Mrs. Matthews said she had something to talk to him about. Let's see him later in the week.
He have any idea what it was?
No. She said she'd rather not talk about it over the phone, that it could wait. I'll get it, Ben.
Remember the guy's name yet, Ben?
What guy?
The one that ran the wrong way for California in the Rose Bowl game.
Oh, no.
Sure beats me. I've been trying to think of it since yesterday.
Ben?
Yeah?
Guess that does it. That was Asher. A woman who's just found a canyon about 2 miles from Matthew's house that answers his wife's description. They're bringing her in now. She's been murdered.
Hi, Ed.
Hello, Lieutenant. Pete.
Hi, Ed.
They just brought her in. Doc wants another look when you're through. Are you coming right in?
Yeah. Quine went out to get him. Should be here any minute.
I sure don't envy you guys at a time like this.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, I suppose. Funny what you wind up doing. I was going to be a fireman. That them?
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Matthews.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Sergeant Quine told you?
Yes.
You okay?
Yes, I'm all right. I just can't believe it. Must be some mistake. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay, Ed.
No. Betty.
All right, Ed.
Well, look, I've got to call Charles.
I'm sorry, Mr. Matthews. Sergeant Quine will go home with you.
Thank you.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Doggone it, I sure wish I'd have been a fireman.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, Ben. Pete.
Hi.
Anybody been around?
Just the usual. Reporters and so forth.
Uh-huh. Was the weapon found with the body?
Up there. Looked everywhere around here.
Where was the body?
Right over there, about 3 feet this side of that culvert. Looks like she might have been shot up there on the road and fell down here. Somebody stopped their car right up there. They could look both ways because of the turn of the road.
Now, who found her?
Man up the road about a mile. Mr. Reynolds. I got his address. I thought you might want to talk to him. 17436 Valley View Drive.
Mm-hmm.
He was out exercising his dogs. Got a couple of Great Danes. Usually doesn't come up this way, but he'd been out of town for a week and he wanted to give his dogs a good run.
Well, where does this road go?
That ends up there about a quarter of a mile. Now, this whole area was subdivided about 2 years ago. Outfit went broke or something. Reynolds' place is the only house in Valley View after you leave Plymouth Boulevard down there.
Any tire marks on the road?
Well, lots of them. This is quite a spot for neckers. Doc said the body'd been here about 2.5 days. Could have been a lot of cars up here in that time.
Uh-huh. Anybody coming out to relieve you?
No. Jim told me to stick around till you got here. I don't think you'll find anything to help. I gave the place a good going over. No gun, no nothing. Just the body.
Now, you might as well go on in then. Pete and I will take a look around. Okay, Doc.
Cigarette, Ben?
Oh, thanks. Fancy. Caught tips.
Yeah, I thought I'd try them for a change. I lit the wrong end the other day. Enough to make you quit smoking.
I can imagine.
Is this what you're after, Ben?
Hmm? Yeah.
Anything new?
No, nothing. Can't find the gun.
Could I recover the bullet? When you find the gun, it'll be a Luger.
I thought it would be.
No chance of it being suicide.
None.
Now, what about personal effects?
The next page. Nothing but what she was wearing. Clothing, wristwatch, wedding rings, no purse. Sorry, I'm not much help, Ben.
We know what happened about noon Monday. Weapon was a Luger. Luger's missing from the Matthews house. Only 3, possibly 4 people could have known where the gun was. Wasn't stolen by a common house thief. Nothing else was missing. Charles, the son, is in the clear. Mr. Matthews is, too. Salesman is clean. May I use your phone, Doc?
Sure.
Sergeant Quine.
Ben, you busy?
No.
Good. I'll meet you in my office in 10 minutes. Pete, go out and pick up Miss Murray. Get a stenographer?
Yeah, I put him at my desk.
Good. He'll be able to hear okay over the intercom. You stay out there. Pete'll stay here in the office. Come in.
Miss Murray, Lieutenant.
Ah, hello, Miss Murray. Sorry to bother you. Right here's fine. Okay, Quine. I know this will be dull and repetitious for you, Miss Murray, but we'd like to go over everything you've told us. Anything you may have left out, no matter how trivial you may think it is, please tell us.
Well, I don't know how I can possibly be of any help to you. I've already told you all I know.
Do you know Charles, Mr. and Mrs. Matthews' son?
I should say I do. He's spoiled rotten. Mrs. gave him everything under the sun.
Did he come over to their house much?
Oh, a couple of times a week, I guess. He hadn't been over for nearly a week. Broke his ankle.
Did Charles get along with his mother?
I suppose so. Certainly should, all she did for him.
They never had any words, then?
Not that I know of, but anybody that had everything given to him like he has, I wouldn't trust very far.
How about Mr. and Mrs. Matthews?
Oh, you mean them getting along?
That's right.
Oh, they seem to get along all right. Of course, when you're working for somebody, you never know. Could have been putting up a front.
They have a lot of company?
Mrs. did. She's always having her club meet at their house for a canasta party, luncheon or something. She's always busy with something social.
Hmm. What happened Monday morning?
My goodness, do we have to go over that again? I've told you several times.
Well, I'm sorry. Frankly, Miss Murray, we're stumped. We're trying to uncover any possible lead.
Anything at all that happened, no matter what, might in some way help us.
Well, all right. I take the bus over to their house. I'm there 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I got there Monday morning, about 8:30. Mr. Matthews had left for work by the time I got there. He usually don't leave till about 9. But the missus said he had to go over to Longview to see about a contract he had over there, and he left early. Now, they may have had a fight before I got there, and that's why he left early. I don't know.
Did Mrs. Matthews say anything to indicate there'd been any trouble between them that morning?
No. Well, she wouldn't have told me if there had been. She never discussed private matters with me. Now, about 8:45, there was a phone call from Charles. They talked about 10 minutes, and the missus was on her way upstairs when the front doorbell rang.
Mm-hmm.
She hollered to me in the kitchen and told me she'd answer it. I didn't know who it was at the door. probably salesman. And she didn't talk long at the door, because shortly after, I heard her go on upstairs.
When did she tell you she wanted to go downtown?
Oh, I forgot. Just as soon as I got there. She wanted to go and buy Charles and his wife an anniversary present. She was planning on coming home with Mr. Matthews, and I was to have dinner ready about 6:30.
What time did you leave the house?
Well, it must have been around 9:30.
What route did you take downtown?
Well, we went straight down Pacific Boulevard.
Uh-huh. You didn't take a shortcut over Valley View Drive?
No, that's a dead end.
How do you know?
Well, I tried it once.
When?
What difference does it make?
I just wondered.
I know when it was. When I first went to work for them, I had my own car then, and I tried to go home one night that way.
How long have you worked for the Matthews?
4 years. Nearly five.
Do you know if they kept a gun in the house?
No, I don't know. I suppose they did. Most every man has a gun of some kind around.
Anything happen on the way downtown?
Nothing.
What did you do after you left Mrs. Matthews?
I went on back to their house. I had a lot of work to do.
What kind of a car did you own, Miss Murray?
Oh, it was an old thing. 1937 Ford. What on earth is that to do with what happened?
Do you have a driver's license?
Well, of course I do.
Could I see it, please?
I suppose so. What are you trying to do? You think I did something to Mrs. Matthews? Here.
Thank you. Did you have a license to drive your car?
Of course. That's a renewal license you have there.
I know. This shows your original license was issued in 1949. That's only 3 years ago. What year did you say you sold your car?
I didn't say. What possible good can all this do? This whole thing has upset me so. If you think for 1 minute that I had anything to...
I'm not accusing you of anything. We only want your help.
Well, I don't know what more help I can be. I've gone over this so much. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
You say you tried to take a shortcut over Valley View Drive when you first went to work for the Matthews?
Yes, I just told you that.
That was nearly 5 years ago.
Of course.
5 years ago, there wasn't any subdivision in that area. There wasn't any such place as Valley View Drive.
She has always given things to Charles. Well, I took a bracelet that was hers. Oh, she never come right out and told me she knew. She just hint at it, make remarks. I heard her talking to Charles about something she wanted to tell him. And I knew what it was. So I found the gun in the desk drawer that morning while she was upstairs. When we were down on Plymouth, I made her turn up that road. I tried to scare her. She just laughed at me. I didn't mean to kill her. The gun's in my apartment.
Okay, Klein. You get it? Okay. Book her.
Roy Riggles.
What?
Yeah, they ran the wrong way in the Rose Bowl. Roy Riggles, that's his name.
Oh, yeah.
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie, with Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Carger, was written by David M. Light, with music composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Hi Everback, Virginia Gregg, Sam Edwards, Clayton Post, Harry Lang, Jerry Hausner, and Howard McNear.
From March of 1952, there's Bill Johnstone starring in The Betty Matthews Case, from The Lineup, another classic moment from the golden age of radio. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today, but we invite you to tune in again next week and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long. Radio.
remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.